Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, we move past the five targeted commands, the five concise imperatives in 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and 14 in Paul's concluding exhortations. And we come to the outstanding example that Paul gave to the Corinthians for people that he considered to be models of what he has just taught. And what were those five commands? Number one, watch. Number two, stand fast in the faith. Number three, be brave. Four, be strong. Five, let all things be done with love. If we can get those things right in our lives, what wonderful, effective, fruitful Christians we will be. If we only get part of them and leave others out, we'll be rather lopsided and may, in some cases, do as much harm to the cause of Christ as we do good. And we don't want to be that way, do we? In the pursuit of serving Christ, we don't want to end up damaging the cause of Christ, but that does happen, doesn't it? We would be naive if we didn't realize that that does happen. It can happen, and it does happen more often than it ought to happen. And when it does happen, it's because somebody is only following a part of the truth. They don't have the whole thing in balance. They may be being strong and brave and standing fast, but they may be doing it without love. Or they may be focusing on being loving and kind and everything to the extent that they're not willing to stand for truth. They're compromising. And in either case, you're doing damage to the cause of Christ. So let's get it right. But let's take a look at this example that Paul set before them as those who are living the exhortations that Paul has given to them. So we'll look at that in just a moment. Let me welcome you to this Friday, July 29 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. Let me thank you for the financial gifts that help us continue teaching on God's on this station. Here it is. I urge you, brethren, verse 15, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit to such and to everyone who works and labors with us. Okay? What about this example that Paul sets before them, which actually turns out not to be one individual? It's a household, and then at the end he even expands his exhortation out beyond that one household of Stephanas. But let's understand what Paul is talking about here, and let's ask some of those detective questions that sometimes we ask, like who and what and how. Who? Who's he talking about? He makes reference here to the household of Stephanas, a family, an extended household. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas. Who they were, we wish we had more details, but there's enough here to suggest that this is an upper-class family that is made up of many members, including servants. When you considered households in that day, you considered everybody who lived within that house or that compound or that property. In some cases it was a farming operation. There might be a number of houses on that operation, but that was all considered one household. Everybody who lived there, everybody who worked there, was part of the family. They were part of the household. And Stephanus, of course, was no doubt the patriarch, as we might call him today, of this family. So we're talking about an upper-class household with servants, a rather large house, or rather large family, extended family. And there are many examples of this kind of person, this kind of persons, plural, in New Testament churches all throughout the New Testament scriptures. It's interesting, even though the Apostle Paul tells us that the majority of Christians are not upper class, they're not wealthy, not many mighty, not many wise are called, but God has called the foolish things of this world to confound the mighty, and so forth and so on. And so that brings great encouragement and comfort to most Christians, because most of us don't fit into the upper class. Most of us are not the elite of society. We don't live in the most expensive neighborhoods. We don't hold positions of authority and power and in government and so forth, for the most part. But it seems like in nearly every New Testament church, there were some that fit that category. And in Corinth, there was one, probably more than one, but at least one, which was the household of Stephanus. And these people were part of an extended household where there would be a large house, and there would be a presumably large, at least a multi-person service staff, people who worked in the house, particularly in a day when, number one, there were many slaves. I've heard estimates of how many slaves there were in the Roman Empire compared to the free population, anywhere from 20% to 50%, and that's a pretty wide range. And I don't know who comes up with these statistics and where they come from and how they arrive at them. I really don't have the resources to study that out for myself, so I suspect that the truth is somewhere in between, but let's pick the figure 25%. If 25% of the inhabitants of the Roman Empire were slaves, and most average Christians were not slave owners, they couldn't afford to, you had to be wealthy for that. But in that case, the wealthier homes generally had a large number of slaves, and that made sense if you had a large house and a lot of people to take care of. It would take a staff of servants, let's call them that for the moment, in order to be able to do this without, you know, poor wife who is responsible to clean a huge mansion and prepare meals for 20 or 30 people and make sure that all these people are clothed and so forth and so on. That is an overwhelming task. No one person could possibly be expected to do it, but in that situation, nobody would expect one person to do it. The wife, in most cases, would actually turn out to be the general manager of what went on inside the house. Pretty important position, actually, if you are supervising a staff of, say, 20 or 30 servants. That requires a lot of intelligence, a lot of skill, a lot of financial knowledge, and so forth. And that's the kind of family, that's the kind of household we're looking at here, that has a large house with a large service staff with large financial resources and probably the ability to travel. And that's who Paul is making reference to, and he calls them, this household, the first fruits of Achaia. Achaia is a province, the southern province in Greece. Do you know what the northern province was called? That was Macedonia. The southern province is Achaia. We're talking about the Greek peninsula in the first century, in the days of Paul. And so these are early converts. It's actually not the very first converts in Corinth, because that doesn't match the history of the church that we read about in Acts chapter 17. But these were people that apparently had been personally baptized by Paul, and you find that information in this epistle, chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. And Paul didn't baptize very many. He makes that clear. Remember that whole discussion that takes us way back. So we go back to chapter 1. And Paul says, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized, listen to me now, the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. So there's the first reference to the household of Stephanas. And again, it's in this informative language. Let me call your attention to it again. I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. There he refers to two individuals, not to their families, not to their household, just two individuals. Lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. How many were in the household of Stephanas? Well, we really don't know. But if we're talking about a husband and wife and older children, there's no reason to expect or demand that there had to be small children, infant children, just because there's a reference to a household. That's an insertion that is not warranted by Scripture. In our church right now, I'm trying to think how many families we have that have small children, nursery-age children. Our nursery takes care of children ages 2 and below. Well, there were times in not the too-distant past when there was only maybe one or two. I think now we have several more than that. But let's suppose there are 5 or 6 families in our whole church that have a child under the age of 2. Then we have lots of families that have no children at home. They're all grown and gone. And lots of families that have teenage children and college-age children who do live at home. And lots of families that have a mixture, have some of those that fit in the category I just mentioned, and then grade school children as well. So if I picked out just eeny, meeny, miny, mo, one of the families in our church, and said that I baptized the household of Steve Smith, what is the likelihood that that particular family would include infant children? Pretty small, not very likely. Far more likely that they would have older children if they had any children left in the home. But Paul said he baptized the family of Stephanas. So they did come early. They weren't the first converts, but they were maybe the first total family where everybody in the family gave a credible profession of faith and was baptized. And so that would explain why Paul might call them here the first fruits of Achaia. And first fruits, of course, is an Old Testament term that carries the idea of promise of a later harvest. The first fruits come first, and then there's a later harvest to follow. So the household of Stephanas were the first components of the church of Corinth, of which many other components were added, and I see my time is running short, so we'll pick this up, Lord willing, on Monday. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.